May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength, my redeemer. This is from Ephesians chapter 3. This is verse 8 of Ephesians 3. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace, the giving of the gospel, has been given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. And the mystery is our salvation being Christ himself in him, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the church, through the church, to the rulers and to the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purposes which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through his faith. Now that's an amazing verse. Verse 11 talks about earlier in chapter 2, it says in verse 18, for through Christ we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. And so Jesus being our peace with God, because of course Jesus is always at peace with the Father, and we've been included in him, and so we now participate in his relationship with the Father. He's forever God, but he's also forever human. And it's our humanity that he's clothed in. And so he's brought us into this relationship, this fellowship with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. That's his intercession. The fact that he has our humanity before the Father and the Holy Spirit, that's his intercession. That's his high priestly work. His mediating us to God and us and God to us in his humanity, our humanity in him. But this scripture says, in whom, in Christ, we have boldness and confident access through his faith. It doesn't mean that we have Jesus who has faith, of course, to have bold and confident access to the Father, and therefore he pulls us along. We get to follow that. We're in on his invitation. He says it's because we're in him. We're part of him. We're in union with him. He's clothed in your humanity and my humanity. In him, we have boldness. We have boldness and confident access through his faith. If I'm in him, if I've been now included into the life of Christ, if I'm grafted into the life of Christ, then I am also grafted into his faith. And so it's in him that I have bold and confident access to the Father through his faith. Now, sometimes you might not have much faith that you're welcome or you have bold access because maybe you're not too confident in your own personal piety or spirituality. But you have to remember that Jesus is your peace with God. You're in him. And therefore, he takes our weak faith, our even lack of faith. It's irrelevant whether you doubt. He doesn't. And you're in him. And so in that moment, you can trust in his faith, because you're one with him. Your feelings are irrelevant in this. Jesus takes who you are and your weak faith and adds it to his perfect faith in his relationship with the Father and presents it to the Father and presents us to the Father as him. That's remarkable. We've talked about that in terms of worship. Because I'm in him, there is this mutual worship between love between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And so I offer up, we come to church and sometimes we're distracted and there's stuff going on in our lives. We feel so unworthy. So we offer up what weak worship we have but because of our union with him, the humanity of Christ, is now our humanity. He takes that and offers, adds it to his perfect worship, and presents it to the Father as ours. That's stunning. That takes the burden off of us. And what it does is it causes your heart to sing in that. Your heart rejoices in that. It lifts us up into that. It changes the way we feel. But if this is true about my worship, and if this is true about my faith here, I go there because of his faith. Whatever faith I have or don't have doesn't matter. He presents his perfect faith as mine as he enters the Father. I'm part of that. Wouldn't that also be true? That if I've been grafted into his faith, I've been grafted into his worship, and this is what we're going to talk about on Sunday, then I'm also grafted into his love. I've been included into this relationship with the Father and the Spirit and the Son, and their enjoyed love for each other. And so Christ takes my imperfect love and he offers it as he adds it to his perfect love to the Father and the Spirit and offers it as mine. You say, well, then I won't even try to love him anymore. That's not true. When you start believing that, you get caught up in that and your everything about you emotionally begins to change. If you believe that's real about you, that's true about you, then it begins to be part of who you actually are in your own experience and your emotions and feelings and everything else. We know the scripture, the injunction or the command or the really, it's a prophecy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. How does that happen in Christ? This is Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, your seed, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. The Lord will circumcise your heart. When did that happen? Has it happened? This is Romans chapter 2. For he is not a Jew who is a Jew outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward of the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit. Not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. This is Colossians 2. For in him you have been made complete. So circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's been fulfilled. So I'm grafted into his heart and his love for God. It's true about you. My humanity is in union with his humanity. And regardless of what, while I still have this flesh, that humanity is sanctified before the Father, regardless of what I have in this flesh and what's going on inside of me, he takes me in union with him and offers his perfect love to the Father and the Spirit as mine. And that's what's true about you. You do love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength in Christ. And Christ is your life. And if we can believe that and stop being bent towards ourselves and find our identity in him, you'll discover all that stuff begins to be transformed by the renewing of the way you think. And the renewing of our mind is thinking of who we are in Christ. That's an amazing thing to me. I can celebrate that. And everything in me gets pulled up into that experientially. So regardless of what the enemy tries to tell you, you are a true lover of God. You've been grafted into his relationship, his spirituality, his walk with the Lord, his love for the Father and the Spirit. That's the truth about you. That's the glory of this thing. That's what it means to be saved. To be saved means that you've been placed into Christ. That's how you got saved. That's what salvation is. That's the new creation. A new creation in Christ. So who is the new creation? What does the new creation look like? Christ. You aren't Christ, but you've been grafted into his life. That's the reality of the new creation. We've so dummied it down. May God lift the blinders off of our eyes. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.